that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Welcome to Love Lighthouse Podcast. This is for Sunday the 28th of August 2022. Okay, so welcome wherever you're coming to this from. Now, I do not have my Bible, my scriptures in front of me. I didn't have them in front of me last night and I made a really late Saturday broadcast, very unlike me. Usually I can have these broadcasts ready up to like a month in advance. Sometimes, you know, it can be a week, a day or so, whatever it is, it's usually in advance. This one today is made on the actual day, but it's during the morning, so I just do whatever I'm called to and put into prioritization that which should be prioritized at that time. So this is just the way this is going to be happening today. So I'm going to just listen in to the Spirit. In other words, I'm just going to come up with a particular piece of scripture without linking to it humanly from my memory in a very, overly conscious way. It's just going to be very quick and what's going to come out. Now, what came out last night was really surprising in some ways, but not in others, because there had been conversations surrounding this with someone more recently who had met up with once and who had been communicating with me quite frequently. I'm not going to say who it is, but the conversation did on the subject. It wasn't the only subject though, and it wasn't the main subject of what was coming up, but it was to do with the behaviours of some of the cities which God dealt with. And it wasn't so much them that this was all about. It was about acceptance. And it's a really big one because it's about acceptance of those in Christ. And of course, we know that there can be unacceptance from people of Christ, of those that are not of Christ. So when people come to this, they're going to come to it from all angles. Some of you might be in Christ, some of you might not. And so you need to understand that when God is saying about, you know, it will be worse for them, those are not accepting you in a certain place, it will be worse for them than it will be for those in Sodom. It really is not... It's basically speaking to those that are of Christ that are not being accepted in a certain place. That's what's going to happen to the people when they move away from there. So it's very, very interesting. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, because there's a lot to be sorted through this, okay? For you to understand, and I go through a lot of it, so many different angles, you'll be like, whoa, oh my gosh. So, do go ahead and listen to Saturdays. I produced it last night. And I added on another extra bit today because of something that, you know, came up in scripture today that I had to give to this man. It was another part of scripture, but there was a part nearby it that goes on to talk about Sodom. When we talk about it's going to be worse for them than it is for Sodom, we're talking about people that go against the values of God. In other words, fornication, that kind of thing, like doing things that are like just really horrible in terms of how they use other people, not cherishing them, not respecting them. So really horrible kind of behavior, really kind of like animalistic, even less than animalistic. I mean, animals can be really good with each other, but you know what I mean, to a certain extent. But that's what it's really getting at. So, for example, there are going to be some people that will come into certain places that don't have God, that aren't accepted as well. So it's not referring to them in this situation. It's referring to what's going to happen to those that don't accept the people of God, of that have Christ, in other words. That's what it's referring to in yesterday's. But it does refer to this topic in terms of in a kind of side way about how Sodom is treated there for. And there's one point in the actual broadcast where we say, well, the actual cities were spared. Yes, for a time they were spared, but today's scripture that came up or surrounding that scripture, not the entire one that I had to give, but I noticed it when it was nearby because I had to read more of it through. That yes, despite that having happened, it does remind us that actually indeed Sodom was dealt with. And so this gives us the bigger picture with all of this about acceptance and non-acceptance. And it gives us an idea that there are some places that are going to be just left to themselves, that whereby there's a particular group of people just doing that kind of thing. And so it also gives us an idea that sometimes we have to walk away from people that aren't doing the right thing. Sometimes you are going to have to walk away from people that aren't doing the right thing, or they will just make their own cities and realize, you know, when they're not accepted by people of God for what they're doing, they will leave as well. So it's not just going to be, it's a place that stays that we're talking about. We're talking about really utilizing Sodom sometimes as a metaphor, not just a physical city, but those people that behave in that way are going to kind of be just a group unto themselves. Those that are, you know, look, you can see it as more of a group, in other words, as well. So I think I've hopefully made that really clear. We're going to move on today, but that's just to give you a bit of an insight into how this can come up. It was just, whoa. So it was highly connected to some of the different things that we were talking about. Now, I wasn't talking about him not being accepted, or him having to leave, or me having to leave or not being accepted, or whatever it was. That didn't come up in our conversation as much, although that person is having to move around, or they do move around quite a fair bit. But they don't accept God, even though they say that they're a particular religion. So it's not going to be referring to them in terms of they are not accepted, so they're having to go blah, blah, blah. If they don't believe in God, that message is not for them. But you get what I'm saying. You understand a little bit. Sometimes it is going to be those that are not in God that are actually going to have to move away, that, you know, aren't accepted in certain times and ways. So you've got to kind of like be a little bit less stuck on the specific ideas of it and understand, oh, well, that doesn't mean it, you know, because some people think, oh, well, that doesn't mean anything because who knows if such a like a city, if that doesn't exist, are we okay? No. It's really important that you understand it's about behaviours and how they link to certain people and also the groups that they form as well, no matter where they are, it doesn't matter what the name of the place is. So it's more like that, and it is flexible, and there can be movement involved in it in terms of a movable city, if you look at it that way, in terms of groups of people or a person groups, you know what I mean? Okay, so let us move on with today's and see what actually comes up in terms of what we've got to look at. So we're going to go with that same type of flow. Okay. I'm getting like my mic is coming up, and so there isn't mic in the scripture. Why on earth is, oh, that's interesting, but the closest to that is Micah, right? So I'm getting Micah coming up from Spirit. Mike, it was first coming through, and now Micah would make sense for scripture. Is 7. I've got something 8 coming up as well. Holy shizzle sticks. Don't know what this... Here it is. Oh. Okay, then. Micah 7. Verse 8. Okay. And 9, 7, so it's 8 and 9 I've got. Okay. But this is really important. It sounds really serious. And I mean, some people can take this away as well. Now, we recently had a victory in terms of with the Bulls. Wow, I think people are going to be like putting a lot of all this together and being like, what's going on here? Yeah, it is about letting things unfold. But let me just go over this again, everybody, before we get right into this. It's Micah 7, and then I was getting 8, and I'm thinking, am I to go to like chapter 8 then? I'm thinking, no, this will be like honing down in terms of the actual verse. And then I also got 8 and 9 in the spirit. I'm like, okay. So here we are, we're at Micah 7, verse 8. This is the KJV version because we have a sovereign in government now. We have to be really, really mindful of this, okay? This is so important. We have to respect what we have in place. And that means we need to respect the fact that we have a government and sovereign in place. This has been in place for a long time now. So the KJV is known as the authorized version. And I do love the Latin. I do love the Catholic versions. I love all of this. But there's a situation that I'm going to talk about before we get into Micah 7 and 8, right? Okay. And this might be the entire picture, okay, that you have to look at and consider. It makes it very clear, which is something I've had to read out to someone today as I say to deliver them, that we cannot and must not despise government or say particular now. Obviously, you can think, but what if the government aren't functioning well? What if, you know, they're not listening to the sovereign, or there's something between the sovereign and the government, or they don't know which they're supposed to be following, or they've set up a false situation and they're trying to go off if they're rebelling, and then people start judging that and saying the government are all over the place because they're rebelling against the sovereign, which is a really tricky situation because in a way they would be right, but at the same time there's ways of dealing with things, and you're not supposed to be despising them as such. It makes it very clear in 2 Peter 2, all right? So very, very important to point out before we head on. But then obviously in Peter, it also does state that, you know, we put God first instead of people. That is true, all right? That is true. So obviously, if there's some times when something is happening within government, we must at times think, okay, wait a minute, such and such is happening. Like, for example, times when we need to evolve. That's why the government is always a functioning body that is evolving at the same time as well within itself, because it in and of itself has to do this. You even hear this in the House of Parliament when people in there are making statements about the government that they're actually a part of, and that's because they're going through these motions as well where they're having to evolve, but they need to address it in a way that's respectful. And so sometimes you will see that is why perhaps the speaker might put them out or might, you know, close something down in terms of a discussion to maintain that respect. Because things are so important, sometimes they can get heated, but there needs to be a level of respect as well. Because the authority that is put into place by God. And even though it might look a certain way, or they're not doing what they should be doing, or if they've made like a false idol at one point and that's not really the function, that's not really what's going on, or whatever, or what should be what's going on, there is that need for respect within through it all, so that there can there be a finding of the right way forward from there and getting people back to where they should be focused. And of course, the sovereign then taking things through God, government taking that initiative, and the people respecting and doing the right thing therefore in that fashion. So Micah 7.8 is read from the KJV because it is the authority of God that we have with our sovereign lineage. And yeah, we do need to put God first. We do need to make sure that we are doing what's coming through God, but we need to ensure there is that respect there. So we can't really be going to different versions all the time in terms of the main ultimate authority. I can, in order to help you and to bring everyone together, but we do need to go with what is authorized and what is right within God's given government that is in place in a matter of respect. So Micah 7.8 comes from the KJV and it sounds like this. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay. If there are members of the government that you see, you feel that, oh my gosh, this is not all right. For example, the conversation that I was having today was that it was felt that the servicemen that had been through service, this was just one person stating this, they felt that they had been through service, like 20 years of service, and that they should be utilised better or in a different or a new way. In other words, they should be put into the police force, and the police force should be setting things straight through the eyes of the servicemen that have gone through their 20 years service at least, or whatever it is they've gone through, perhaps more. That through their eyes, that is how the police service should be run. Now, that is a fair point. That is a fair point. But quite often, when service people come out of service or active duty, they may have been through certain traumas or things that they have experienced where they actually need to go through some form of recovery, some form of help. And perhaps putting people into the police force that are in that mindset is not really quite a healthy or an appropriate idea for the wider communities, let alone themselves. That's not to say that there aren't some that are out there that would be perfect and would do really well. Of course there will be, but on the whole, if a service comes to an end, there's usually a reason for that, and there needs to be like a kind of like a period of transition or a period of readjustment in between. When something ends, there's usually a period of adjustment that's required in between, unless it's a pre-thought out move specifically from that individual and their governing body and the person that is an authority that can speak with them regarding that. So it has to be like a pre-ordained or a pre-thought out idea, rather as opposed to just taking a bundle of people without thinking about their important care and needs and just plonking them into the police force. I find that highly unacceptable for some of the things that the service people have been through or may have been through that they need help to readjust with first. It would be highly inappropriate, unless it's in a state of an emergency, to just bundle a whole bundle of people without thought or care or attention on them and their individual needs to just plunk them into the police force, I really think that'd be highly insensitive and highly inappropriate, as I say, unless it's in a state of an emergency. And we saw when the pandemic hit that, you know, people were able to come round and put these different things aside and be able to work with the government to help with different various initiatives during that pandemic. We didn't really know what it was about at the time. It was just a whole new ball game, and we still needed to work things out. When things needed to be organised, we had members of the armed forces going into that. But I think most of them were in active service as well. So it wasn't really... there might have been some that had come in, that had come out of service. But anyway, so it's important. I'm here at 9/11 as well. It's important to understand that even although these people in those situations may feel fallen in a way, some of these soldiers may feel fallen, they will rise again. It is also important to bear this in mind, that the government may look like there are certain aspects of it that need to change and transition as well, according to how you might perceive it. And that may not necessarily be the case. They may not have gone through any type of sin. They may not have sinned against God. I certainly, when I'm reading this out, I am not going against God. I am definitely 100% in Christ. I'm not falling. I have not fallen. I'm not doing that. I'm not falling. I'm definitely keeping my faith in Christ. But when I read this, I'm reading this for the purpose of you guys out there that might be going through this, or when you see someone else that might be going through this, you need to understand. So it's not for me. I am really thankful. We have gone through major victories recently, so thankful for that. But even if we were to go through something where, oh my gosh, you know, look at what happened 2 weeks beforehand, you know, what it would look like we fail or we sin. Now, how did we sin technically? No. In any huge way? No. As I said, it was the opposition, the other team, that was did things that would appear to be sinful at times in certain ways, you know, certain kind of different things like that going on. In fact, even last week there, in terms of tackles and stuff like that. But there's a deeper understanding of sin. You see, the biggest form of sin is, even if you or me or anyone momentarily drop our level of faith in God, see, if you momentarily do that, you drop your faith in God, that is the biggest sin. If you deny Christ, if any of us deny Christ, that is the biggest sin. Let's say the devil's in your ear, or other people coming to you that are rude or whatever, or doing things that are fallen, they're not right, they're not good, and they influence you in such a way as to just momentarily drop your faith. That is a human condition, and it is part of a possibility. But do you know that if you do that on purpose, it's a sin? But even if you don't do it on purpose, it can still be a sin, but it is viewed by other people, or viewed externally, but it is not a sin that you're committing on purpose, therefore not a sin overall. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because there are so many different layers and so many different angles, therefore, to look at this. But this is all coming from Scripture and the Holy Spirit, that overall, it's not really a sin. And obviously, it can be forgiven if you're not doing it on purpose, if it's a subconscious thing. But if you're purposely denying Christ, if you're doing it on purpose, that is like the biggest sin ever. And that is like so, you know. But obviously here we're referring to people who are probably perhaps being perceived by outsiders as having sinned or going through something that looks like they're fallen. Perhaps they're not, but it looks that way. Well, it's just to say, don't rejoice. So again, where are we at within this position? Because like if we look at the Bulls, well, the Bulls were just literally won. But they are the epitome of this. Because just 2 weeks prior to this, they actually went through what would appear like a fall, but they rose again. They rose again. Oh, I'm going through to 10. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as a mire of the streets. So you see where I'm coming from. It's kind of like those that probably perhaps saw that now they are seeing the victory, the rise that has happened. We could put that into context of the Ayrshire Bulls and see, well, no, they didn't sin technically in terms of the actual game itself. No, nobody was, well, as far as I know, maybe individuals might think that, I don't know. But overall, we would see that in terms of how they went with their game at Edinburgh there. It seemed like a fall. I would say more in terms of like favour, in other words, faith in the overall situation, right? And therefore that produced what it produced. It wasn't necessarily or didn't necessarily seem fair, but that's the thing. Favour doesn't always seem fair. It's about faith overall. And so, yeah, it's one of these things. I mean, you can see that there's the enemy even of God can try and get like one up against those that are actually in God. And that's the strangest thing ever. And it seems like that's when you're talking about like, you know, persecution, things that are happening that are just not right, unfair, that kind of thing. So even then, when it's not someone that's sinning on purpose, but there's some sort of form of persecution, you see then therefore eventually them rise. So good to go over that today. And that certainly did happen as the Bulls rose. Now, does that mean that, for example, here we have, well, I mean, you could look at it this way as well. For Watsonians, it looked to others, perhaps, like they were falling in many ways because they lost the overall game, right? But they arose in such a way as to secure a point or extra points on the scoreboard that would allow for them to remain at the top of that league table. So despite the fact they lost that game, they still managed to achieve keeping themselves. So they rose again. They fell, but they rose in another way. So that's also a point of looking at it as well, is that sometimes it might look like an overall fall to certain people, but there's another area that's working itself out that's rising at the same time. So I think today is really a message of hope for all people when you look at it that way, certainly all people of God. And it's not such a good one for those that are the enemy of God or the enemy of God's people, mind you, especially when we hear and we culminate on this, which I didn't plan to, wasn't coming up until I flipped over naturally onto this. I know how it was happening, but it's so important that it has. 7 verse 10 of Micah. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eye shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.